So let's talk about time management. What should a successful or someone who is seriously focused on becoming successful, what is their typical work day as a martial arts school owner?
I would come in the morning, and a lot of times I would schedule workouts for myself and practice karate. But then I would sit there, and that's when I would try to come up with or think about what kind of marketing we were doing, advertising that we were trying to do, if any. Our promotional, in-school promotionals, those kind of things would come up, during those time, those hours when we didn't have classes going on. And then, try to get a little break in the afternoon and then get ready to go for the evening.
I always thought that during the day, your job is to create students, and at night, it's to keep students.
I think that you said that a lot more succinctly than I did, didn't you? But yeah, I would agree with that.
What are some helpful approaches then with dealing with competition? Because I tell you what, there's a school on every corner.
I always thought, well, there's nothing we can do about them. We can't have any impact or control on our competition. It's good to know what they're doing or how their approach to business is, or how maybe it's different than yours. But at the same time, really, what you have to do is just do the better job. And I always felt like that, when people would go out and shop around, I would always kind of tell them, yeah, that's a good idea. You should do that. Mm-hmm. And, just we hope that you'll come to us last. Go see what everybody else is doing, and then be sure you check with us before you make a decision.
And following up on that, because that is a statement of confidence, and much of that confidence is expressed in the tuition that you charge. I always wanted, especially after training with you that weekend, I always wanted to be the most expensive school in town. And yep. then, because it made me work hard to back it up and make it happen. And right. In my experience, in every market, it seems, the largest, most successful school is the most expensive school in town, and also the one that is using contracts. Talk about that a bit.
Well, one of the things that I would say on seminars is that, if someone, you're all sitting out here, you're guys that are all martial art professionals, you all had the martial art experience. What price tag do I write? What's the check that I write to you that'll wipe the slate clean and say you can never do karate ever? Is it $500? No. Well, is it $1 million? And most people would never even raise their hand on $1 million. They'd all say that's how valuable that has been to me. If martial art training is that valuable to you, then how is it possible that you can go around and say, well, I'm gonna be the cheapest guy in town, and I'm not gonna charge what's right for what martial arts is valued, and it really is. So, yeah, the idea of pricing yourself fairly and charging what you're worth is, I think, what people should think about. And of course, it's in hard times, and we've certainly seen hard times. Mm-hmm. People have a tendency to want to go cheap, and I've always said, don't. You're shooting yourself in the foot. You don't want to do that. You just want to make sure that the people that are coming in are getting the value. If they can see the value, then whatever you charge, they're going to pay, because that's what it's worth. And you're giving them that much service. What you're providing for them is they appreciate that value. They'll make their sacrifice. They'll pay you.
And is National Karate still using contracts? Obviously, with the billing company, it seems they would be.
Yeah. Yep.
And talk about that just for a second, because to this day, that is a big sticking issue with owners. They are they're afraid to bring out an agreement and get a student to make that agreement.
Well, it's unfortunate that they are, because what we tell people is that this isn't we don't like to use the word contract so much, because that sounds kind of
scary.
It is. So we talk about agreements, and we say what this does, this defines what we're both doing, what we're doing for you and what you're doing for us. And it's written for that, and it's good to do that. It's good for people to know exactly what to expect. And then that also holds you to the fire. You've got to hold your end of the bargain. So if it says you're going to, provide this number of classes, this kind of service, then you have to do that. That's all in this agreement. So, I mean, I don't know how you can, you can't buy anything much other than a shirt and a pair of jeans without having to have some